about having a surrendered life, for Jesus, because in this hour of time, people are just not going to make it through unless they're close to the Lord, real close to the Lord, because things happen that you don't understand. God loves us, but you need to feel Him and His love, and you need to walk a very close walk with Him in the days ahead. Things are beginning to unravel on the international world and America in the weather situations that we've seen. And, you know, we just have to stay very close to the Lord so that we can hear His voice and get directions, right? And so the Bible, if you got your Bible, in Romans 6:2, the Bible talks about death to sin. And one of the problems that we have in our nation is that many church people have not been taught the Word of God. And they certainly haven't been taught that they have to die to sin. You know, the preachers just get up there and say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And I sin every day. And they preach these kind of messages to the people. And the people think, well, if the preacher can't live a holy life, how can I, right? And so people just take a very light look at sin. In addition to that, there's so much brainwashing going on in our nation concerning sin. You get it on the television every time you turn it on. You see somebody sinning. And you know, we have gone to sleep to the point that when it's going on, we don't even recognize that we're being fed a daily diet of sin. If there's a cop in the program, his goal is to go after the woman and get her, and or vice versa, and both of them married to someone else. And so it happens right in front of your eyes, and you're sitting there, and sometimes the devil will make you feel romance because adultery is being committed. Amen? I remember years ago when I went to see A Fair to Remember. It was a movie. And I came out of that movie and I thought, my goodness, wasn't that a wonderful story, you know? And it was so romantic. And gosh, I wish I could find some romance in my life, too. And when you're looking, the devil will bring it to you, and sometimes when you're not looking, he'll bring it to you. Amen? And so sin is a wicked thing that comes dressed up sometimes in nice clothes. And so you have to begin to look at it square in the face and ask God to show you things through His eyesight. How do you look at this, God? If you begin to walk in that manner, there's a lot of things that you will no longer sit and entertain in your living room. Amen? And so Romans 6:2 says, God forbid shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. So the Bible teaches that we are supposed to see sin that we had in our past as dead to it, that it can't have any effect over our lives anymore. And you know what? The only way that it can die is if you kill it. You're the one that's in control of your flesh and your mind and what you put in it. And so if you want to become alive to sin, entertain it, because sin will come and it will entertain you. And the next thing you know, all conscience is wiped away, and that little sin devil will come in and begin to talk to your mind and Oh, it's not so bad. God knows that you're just a sinner saved by grace. Go ahead and do it. He'll forgive you if you smoke. He's not going to send you to hell for that. Just forget it. Just go and have yourself a ball. Now, we've all experienced that. And we've all fallen into traps with those thoughts, too. But God wants you to be aware that when thoughts like that begin to swirl in your mind, you need to rise up and kill it. You need to stop the thoughts, get your heart and your thoughts on God. If you're cold, they can turn that air down. Get your heart on God and let Him minister to you. Let Him tell you things that you need to know. Let Him show you revelation knowledge, you know. You can get your heart on your relatives that are backslidden. Look at their lives and you can say, you know, I've got this little bit of time. I'm just going to spend it with you, Lord, and I'm going to pray for them. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference, these little times that you spend with Jesus. Amen? So in Romans 6:11 it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You cannot serve two masters. That's the word. So if you're alive to Christ, you're going to be dead to the thoughts and the plans and plots of the enemy, right? You're going to stand up against his temptations. You're going to begin to resist the devil, and he will flee. And so in Galatians 5:24, the Bible says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and lust. Now, here's the thing. See, there's a crucifixion of your flesh. That means your flesh must die. Your spirit must rise up and be in control of you. Because your spirit is that part of you that's going to live forever and ever. Your flesh is going to die eventually someday. And so now is the time to practice killing the flesh. You look at your flesh and you see so many things going on in your flesh, it's overwhelming sometimes. So what you have to do is take it piece by piece. If you took and looked at your flesh, and let's say you have five areas that you're weak in. Minister on one area at a time. How many of you on New Year's Eve say, I'm turning over a new leaf and I'm not going to do this. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit looking at women. I'm going to do this and that. And you're pretty good for the first day. But then after that, you're overwhelmed again because you've chosen such a big project. Kill the flesh one piece at a time. So that, for instance, if you are a smoker, you say, Lord, I'm weak. I can't stop this. I've tried. But with your help, I can. And you begin to zero in on ways and means of stopping to smoke. And that's a hard project because they've got dope in those cigarettes these days to draw people and addict them. So it's warfare. That'll be a major warfare in anybody's vessel just to stop smoking. So you say, Lord, I'm going to work on this, and I'm leaning on you to stop. You make up your mind. That is the main thing. Once you make up your mind, and when the thoughts come and say, oh, well, just one little cigarette isn't going to hurt, and you say, get thee behind me, Satan, I have nothing to do with you, and you resist him, and you resist him, and you resist him every time, and each time you call on the Lord, because he says, In your weakness, I am made perfect. So though you're weak, you're leaning on a perfect vessel to walk you through. Some people that are alcoholics, they lean on the AA people. Now, the interesting thing about the AA people is this. It's not a Christian organization. They turn them to pray and rely on the Supreme God. And a lot of people come out of there talking about God, but they don't know Jesus because they don't teach them about Jesus. And see, God or Supreme Being can be anybody. It could be the God of hell. It can be a goddess or a god, the earth god. It could be all kinds of things, tree gods. And so to get connected into the Father, you must come through Jesus, right? So in every little issue, that's who you're going to be leaning on. And you see, he sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you. He's interested in you. He watches you, but he will not enter into your circle unless you invite him. You can ignore him, and he will not move for you at all. But if you say, Jesus, you know I'm weak and you're strong, and I'm relying on you to get over whatever it is that you're working on, and every time you feel weak, call on the name of Jesus. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You'll get the victory over every single thing. Everything in your life. Every single thing. Now that's really good to know, isn't it? Because see, it's so easy. It's not some esoteric reading, learning, interpretation, trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong. The Bible's very clear. Rely on Jesus. Surrender your life to him, and you will come through these places, you know, that you walk through. In Colossians 3:3, the Bible says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ God." Now, we had a lady in here Friday night, and she believes that witches are following her everywhere she goes. And she was very paranoid. And so we prayed for her, but we didn't do any deliverance or anything. We just prayed for her, and I think that Tracy gave her a word from the Lord not to fear. But the thing is that we taught Friday night about the protection of being under Jesus Christ. And so, you know, use the blood. Use the fire of the Holy Spirit. Call God to send the warring angels to you so that you have supernatural protection. And, of course, when you call on the warring angels and you ask God, the Bible says in Hebrews, for they are ministering angels. They're there for his saints, just like they were there for him. And you remember the scripture that he said, I could have called 12 legions of angels. He said, but I choose not, because this is the purpose that I came, was to die on the cross for you. And if Jesus could call the Father to send 12 legions of angels, so can you. Amen? So can you. And so you need to understand that you have more power in the name of Jesus, and you have more power in the use of angels. When the devil fell from heaven, there was 1/3 of the angels that fell with him. But there's 2/3 still up there with God. And see, whenever he binds the devil to get a picture of the devil and his strength and his might, you have to see the very latter part of Revelation. And the Bible says that this angel comes and he's so big he covers the moon. I mean, the sun, that's big. And the Bible says that he comes down to the earth and he cast the wicked serpent, the devil, into the bottomless pit. So Jesus speaks the word. He comes back on the white horse with his saints on their white horses. And the Bible says he speaks with a double-edged sword. And the double-edged sword is, one side of the sword is judgment of God. The other side of the sword is mercy. So when he returns, the judgment of God will fall on the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil. And so you need to see that God isn't coming back to fight the devil. He's already won that battle. So through his word, speaking the word, then the angel comes, chains the devil up, and cast him into the pit. One angel. One angel. Now that's power, you see. So you have to see the word through the eyes of God and through his power in order to be successful. Amen? And so the Bible shows that God will be a fire around his people, a wall of fire in Zechariah 2:4. And the Bible shows that it could be, I think it's Zechariah, it could be Zephaniah, but I think it's but it's 2:4. And he says, I'll be a wall of fire around Jerusalem, the city without walls. And when he prophesied this, there was no Jerusalem. Jerusalem didn't come into being for 50 years. And so he was talking about a city without walls. I will be a fire around the city without walls. And so the Lord showed me one day, he said, that's the church. He said, you see, the church is spread all over the world. It's the New Jerusalem, and it's a city without walls. So you can be content to know that you walk under that city without walls, but that God is the wall of fire around you. So there's your protection also. And so the Bible tells us that whenever it's over in Isaiah, I can't remember exactly the scripture. I think it's around the 45th chapter. But he talks about Satan when he stands before the throne of judgment. And he says that the people of the world are all gathered around the great white throne to be judged. And Satan stands before the great white throne, and the Bible shows the people looking at Satan and saying, you mean to tell me this is the one? This is the one that destroyed nations? This is the one? They can't quite believe it because of the fact that he made havoc over nations and people's lives. And yet, standing before the mighty throne of God, he was very insignificant. Amen? So that's your that's the devil. Don't ever get a big devil conjured up in your mind, because if you do, you'll lose the battle. See him as a defeated foe. Jesus said, it is finished, when he was on the cross. And therefore, because it's finished, his work is already done. He left the church in our hands. And you will see that the devil can do nothing unless he can find a mind or to get in agreement with him. He has no power over you unless you get in agreement with him like Eve did. Go ahead and eat. It won't hurt you. You'll be like God. You'll have wisdom and knowledge like God. And so she yielded to the temptation and ate it. But nothing could have happened to her or Adam until she made the move to give their power to the devil. You see? If she'd have said, no, we serve God and God told us not to eat that, Jesus never would have had to have been killed. But she didn't. So we need to see that our God is mighty and that the devil is weak. We need to see that our God can assist us in our times of need, but the devil is weak. He can only motivate you to walk into sin. And then once you have sinned, then the motivation opens the door. He comes in and he causes you to fall. Amen? But if you do fall, Jesus can pick you back up. That's not an open door for you to just nonchalantly go around and fall. You're supposed to make a stab at being holy, doing the right thing, being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? In 1 Peter 2:24, the Bible says, Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. It's an interesting way to look at the cross, because the cross was made out of a tree. And back in these days, the people used to worship trees, and they worshiped the river, and they worshiped the sun, and they worshiped nature. And all of these things are going on today, as you well know. But Jesus died on the cross, on the tree, so that he could be victorious over the gods of the pagans. Last night when I was speaking to the group up at the University Club, I told them about the treaty oak, about Yvette's vision of the oak with snakes crawling all over it and coming out of the ground. And when Yvette told me about it, I said, I know where that tree is. I said, that tree's right over there by Prudential Drive. Now, you can see that tree from the University Club. And back in the 70s, the city of Jacksonville made a park where that tree is and put a little fence around it because it was 150 years old. But you see, if you think in spiritual ways, that isn't why the councilman and the mayor preserved that tree. They preserved it because the Indians used to worship under that tree, and they called it the cosmic tree. And they preserved it because the gods of the air in this area put it in their minds, protect our shrine. So that's a shrine that's never been pulled down by Christians. And it's a shrine that is alive today, just as it was back then. Now, you got to know that there are Satanists and people like that that know the significance of that tree, that probably go over there and worship under that tree even until today. So what we have been doing is we've been killing the tree, the curse of the tree over the city, chopping those snakes up in the name of Jesus, commanding those snakes to go to the feet of Jesus. I believe when the water spirits and the snake spirits are bound and we defeat them, that's when revival will come to Jacksonville. And so afterwards, he asked the ministers to come up to pray for the people. And this little Spanish lady came up to me and she said, "You know, you were talking about that tree." She said, "Well, down in Mexico," she said, "they have a tree like that too, where I came from. And the witches and the wizards go there and worship under that tree." And instantly the Lord showed me that somebody that worshiped the tree had taken her to that tree as a child. And I said, "Did you go to that tree as a child and was dedicated?" She said, "My grandma used to believe in the tree." And I broke the powers over her life instantly. And she had manifestations of those powers being broken. So in Jacksonville, as you speak to these things, they must bow their knee to the name of Jesus. As we call the angels to come and enforce our words, just exactly like they will come and enforce the words of Jesus at the end, they will come and enforce your words too. You just ask the Father. Now, you can't command angels around. Only the Father commands angels. But you can pray and say, "Father, would you send some angels? I need some angels." He will send them. And so the Bible shows us that the tree worshipers were defeated. The curse of the tree worshipers were defeated when Jesus hung on the cross. And so we do have dominion, and we do have a mighty God that had you in mind before you were ever born. And we have a mighty God that can stand up for you and fight your battles. So we stand here today and we ask God to enter into the battle for Miracle Outreach Ministry, for your families, for yourself, for your health, for every need that you have, for the things that you desire in your heart. The Bible says that He will give you the desires of your heart. So as you're praying the desires of your heart, expect a miracle, because the Bible says God cannot lie. Amen? Amen. He says, "I look over my word to perform it," right? And so see yourself as a person that walks with Jesus. See yourself with a surrendered life, knowing that God can't lie and He can do what He tells you He will do. I saw two little girls there last night. One of the little girls, the Lord had healed her father of AIDS here. And then when she was 6 weeks old, they brought her to this church. And I took authority over the AIDS spirit in that little girl. Some of you saw it. She had manifestations of deliverance. She was there last night. She's 5 years old. Then this same woman brought a friend of hers that had a little baby, and the little baby's head couldn't raise up. It was like it didn't have a bone in it. And when we prayed for that baby, instantly strength came into that baby's head, and she was able to raise her head up. That little child was there last night, both of them running around, perfectly healthy, perfectly well, because we serve a God of the impossible to us. But all things are possible for those that believe in Him and that are called according to His purpose. Amen. Did I help you today? Amen. Remember all week, fellowship with Jesus. Amen.